Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Michael Washington right here in Oklahoma City, Brother Babawi Tafa, Father of Many Nations, right here on People Power Radio, where your radio host is the host with the most and who recognizes the abilities and powers and wishes and demands of you, the public, because this is your radio station. I am simply here to monitor it and manage it for you. We have a very interesting topic tonight for discussion, and actually we'll be visiting one topic on the show we had a couple of months ago, and tonight's show is called Black Reparations on Demand. Before I go there, though, let me let everyone know that my normal co-host, Sister Mayette Yubor, she's off tonight on vacation, and we're wishing her the best, and hopefully she returns quick as possible, because I know some of the people listening to the show is going to miss her talented and very well-versed voice. But again, we're going to pick up the slack for her while she's not here tonight. So again, thank you all for tuning in tonight. We blacks here in the Western Hemisphere demand that we be given reparations. Our reparations are far and a foregone conclusion that the powers that be do not intend to even recognize the right of the African American in the diaspora, who basically financially built every institution and empire that the United States can lay claim to. And that is such a fact that no one can deny. Let me also say, while I'm at it, today is my birthday, so every one of you want to wish me a happy birthday, thank you very much. And again, for those of you who did wish me a happy birthday, I appreciate y'all so much, and I am delighted that I was able to see year 64. That's right, I'm 64 years old today. April 16th, 1958 is my birthday. So all right now. So let's talk a little bit about reparations. Now, when it comes down to reparations, blacks, it's no question here in the Western Hemisphere, it's no question that everyone knows that we deserve monetary awards just like every other immigrant who basically have been trampled on, have been subject to racism or death, evil destruction, and other mannerisms that was caused by the United States government. Japan was given reparations. The Eskimos were given reparations. The Jews are given reparations. The Hispanics in various parts of Spain and other parts like that in the world have been given reparations. It's simply a problem now that for blacks who have built up America, who was responsible for all the basic businesses and empires and opulent lifestyle that white America experiences today and enjoy, we are responsible for all of it. We were manning their rice factories, manning their tobacco factories, cotton factories, and we manned every other factory that you can think of that comes to mind, even tobacco companies. Responsible for manning their newspaper companies, their television shows, their banks, their loan companies, and any other thing that you can think of when it comes to black men and women running the stage for the wealthy whites who, for the most part, left the blacks out of any kind of wealth or form of financial gain for the many long hours of struggle, of bloody heartache, pain and tears. They were given nothing, but not even a thank you, but be prepared so next time when you come here, we're going to do the same thing. I mean, it was that kind of reality that frightens all of us in it when we think about how blacks are owed reparations here in the United States of America. Our ancestors built this country up to become the most greatest, powerfulest military, economic, social country on the face of the earth. And it goes to show you how deeply satisfying and deeply rooted into mass power and ability and intellect that the African people here in the Western Hemisphere has, and it shows you how our great ancestors have paved the way for us to be recognized as the original people on earth. And not only that, but let me tell all of you today, there's a misnomer in believing that blacks, when it came to America, that you were slaves. You were not slaves. You were acting as kings, princes, queens. You had various empires, democracy, various governments. You mummified your remains. You did your farming, irrigation, and all this from what every other knowledge came from. So let us understand that you were the creation of mathematics. You did everything that's under the sun and science known to man today. Without you, Quite simply put, and even some of the archaeologists, anthropologists, all would make a claim and statement that they owe their very existence to the Africans in the diaspora, their parents and foreparents from Al-Kibu land, the land of the dark-skinned people. I just want to make that point clear. We have Brother Curtis Mullins, who again is one of my mentors here on the line. We're definitely going to get with him shortly after I make a few more statements. Again, Brother, we thank you for getting on the line tonight. Let me say to others as well, Washington Post has also stated that they believe that the African in a diaspora deserves be given some kind of reparation for the heartache, pain, suffering, and tears, and for the manner in which they built up America today. And I'm saying to myself, I strongly agree, because without us, the only thing that America has given us throughout all the years that we've been here in the Western Hemisphere is slavery, suffering, and death. And there's no question about it. Everybody knows that this is a fact. So in realization of this, y'all, we have to really stand up and fight for the rights of the African-American here in the diaspora and here in the Western Hemisphere, because we are owed so much. And as a matter of fact, for myself, as far as I'm concerned, I believe that there's more than the trillions of uncountable numbers of dollars that is owed to the African-American male and female here in the Western Hemisphere and their children for the heartache, pain, suffering, and death that was subjected to their ancestors, and they were so traumatized that we have a problem today in realizing that we need to be paid for making America what it is today. Let me say one more thing, and we'll get Brother Curtis online. I see my brother Omar jumped online too. Brother, good to see you, and again, we're definitely going to give y'all a moment to speak here in just a second. As we know, I like to start things off, and then as y'all know, y'all basically have a show after that. Anyhow, this is supposed to be the so-called fake House Bill 40 that's made out to a committee last year. Okay, that's supposed to be talking about, okay, how they're going to develop a reparation proposal for African Americans by examining slavery and discrimination in the colonies in the United States from 1619 to the present. Now, there's no kind of way that they can do any real study. There's no need to do study. You've been doing study for more than 450 years. We've been here in the Western Hemisphere, kidnapped, maimed and suffering and denied education, social politics, and so forth and so on. You already know what you owe us. I mean, surely why do you continue to need a study? Okay, they want to identify the role of the federal and state governments. Yes, we had brothers and sisters, listen carefully. This is a very important point that I want you all to know and understand and realize and imbibe into your minds. The role of the federal and state governments in supporting institutionalized slavery, suffering, and death of our people, and discrimination in public and private sectors throughout the slave trade. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the wicked, no-good white supremacists, the diabolical people, powers, and authority of gone, past, and present were responsible for our slavery, suffering, and death. Yes, for the lingering of the negative effect of slavery on our African-American lives in our society, we must be paid. Brother Curtis Mullins, I mean, how you doing tonight? Brother, tell me, do you agree with anything I've been saying? If not, I mean, you know, speak your mind. Talk to me.
You're right on the money. I'd just like to make a couple of points.
Uh-huh.
One is America's worst days are ahead. In regards to reparations, what is old African American is for payment we have been treated.
Uh-huh.
A lot are under the impression that they've given us a bill for reparations in the quadrillions of dollars.
Okay, I agree with you.
Which the people who control our slave labor earnings are the Rothschilds for Europe.
Okay, I agree with Rothschild. They're definitely one of them, for real.
They the main one.
Okay, yes, sir.
They control trillions and trillions of dollars.
Absolutely.
and they use that money as they see fit. Now, one of the things that developed over the last couple of years is the bringing down of the Twin Towers and the Solomon Brothers building in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
Now, how they have control of the money is that Larry Silverstein was awarded $4 billion by a federal district judge, Alvin Hellstein. Both of them are Israeli Zionist Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 400 and some odd trillion dollars is peanuts compared to what they owe African American people. One of the
That's
people
right.
in the community, one of the people that live in the community that we live in, name is Greg Robinson.
Okay.
He is deceased. He was
I'm sorry to hear that.
He was an economist at a He took care of the African American community.
All right.
And they always found ways to attempt to discredit him, but they couldn't. He built houses for African American people. He was head of the Oklahoma Neighborhood Housing Services.
Okay.
He was an officer of the Negro Bank in Tulsa.
Of the what now?
He orchestrated a plan for many of the churches in Tulsa to own their own. He was a genius economist, mathematician.
Okay.
He was a loss to the African American community. Now, they've been trying to replace him. Now, I ain't going to get up and call no names right now, but I am going to call him.
Take your time. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. According to scientists and engineers, Osama bin Laden was not the man that's responsible for the bringing down those buildings. Those buildings were brought down by Larry Silverstein, a Zionist Jew, and they paid him $4.5 billion. That money and split it up amongst his family and his cohort. Now this isn't something that is so outlandish that nobody can get a hold of it. It's a known fact that Larry Silverstein had Zionist Jews plant the explosives in those three buildings. People only know about two. The Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
But the Solomon Brothers building was a little further down the street, and it was brought down also with explosives that was planted on those buildings. Now, only one Jew was killed in those buildings because Larry Silverstein told all of the Jews not to come to work on that day. But one of them went to work. Now, one of the people that's responsible for getting people out of the building was the mayor of New York at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was, hold on a second.
Take your time, brother. I mean, this is your show tonight. Like I said, it's everybody's out here, and we want to recognize Brother Omar. We're going to get with you here shortly, brother. I hope that everything's all right with you as well. And we're just trying to do it for the people out there, I mean, inside and out. You know, we're not going to discriminate against our people who need to be heard.
Okay. The mayor of New York at the time, I think his name was Cohen. He called up the senator from New York and told him not to come to work on 9/11. And the senator didn't go to work, but he wrote in his book how the mayor of New York had called him and told him not to come to work on that day.
Okay.
And that building, he's no longer a senator, but that building was brought down with explosives that was planted in the building, and they were police officers and firemen who attested to the fact that they heard explosions.
So you said it was more than just airplanes, huh, flying into the building?
can't no kerosene melt no steel.
Uh-huh. I got you.
Explosives caused those three buildings to collapse.
Yes, right. The Pentagon too. Yeah, okay.
Now, the Pentagon planned, a plane was flown into the Pentagon, and they can't find hardly any remains of it now. And it should
wow.
be a great. And there was another plane that was flown into the ground. Now, what they don't tell you about that is that a black pilot was flying that plane for that airline, and you never hear anything about him. Men on the plane decided that they was going to take over the plane and be heroes, and they flew the plane into the ground, killing everybody that was on the plane or in the plane. It's a very damaging story behind 9/11. And Larry Silverstein and his crime partner, Alvin Pellerstein, are responsible for all of those American deaths. But they don't want to deal with
that. I can believe that, man.
It's a fact.
There were definitely several thousand.
Hundreds of others
really hurt, you know?
Yeah, in that building.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say to you right here that, all right, go ahead, let me say something. They are, right today, Americans, 30% of white Americans are in favor of black reparations. Now, that's a huge number when it comes down to the overall racist white supremacist policies and practices here in the United States. But now, is that poll really true? Because if it was, why is it that these people are not standing out in the forefront and actually voting and or stepping up and actually protesting in the various government agencies and government institutions? Why are they not? Now, this is a secret poll that was basically taken. I guess they're afraid of their identity and maybe someone maybe finding it harsh or maybe looking at them as traitors or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, this was a significant increase from 5% who actually supported reparations in 2000. So 21 years after that, before 2021, in 2000, only 5% of whites supported reparations. But now you got 2021, and that was last year, you have 30% of people. Wonder why that changed like that, Brother Omar. Why that sudden change like that in 21 years?
Can I get back?
Man, I think it's several factors, my brother. Thank you for inviting me on. I think one of them is, like, a lot of people maybe want to see us get the money and leave this country.
That's a good one.
Want them to pay you to leave, you know?
That's a good one.
I remember, Marcus Garvey was he addressed the Ku Klux Klan, and he told them if he really want to, you know, get rid of my people, you know, put the money up. They was having meetings.
Right.
You know, it never really came forward because of so much repression against Marcus Garvey, and the Klan obviously wasn't really about what they were claiming to stand for, you know? And I think with everything going on as far as with, you know, the younger generation of Caucasian Americans, you know, and other races, non-black races, are seeing things from a different viewpoint than other generations. I mean, they come in and, you know, they look up to our entertainers and various people being put on pedestals, and, you know, and they just maybe want to see some kind of change. And they realize that it takes material resources. And I think also that maybe a lot of people don't even know what reparation means, man. It's such a vague topic. Like, to me, reparations may be, you know, give me money so I can leave you. To another person, it may be.
That's right. That's
good. It may be like, hey, we need medical attention. We need education.
Right,
we want money.
Right.
You know, so I think a lot of people don't even, they just hear the word, and it's just like, you know, they say if you ask them, you tell a story, one person tells a story, and you share it with 10 people, and it changes so many times. You know, by the time, it may be a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, what does it mean? And to sum it up, you know, to wrap up my point, as I, you know, dealing with this illegal mass incarceration, like my website brings forward, freeourbrothers.com. I ask everybody to go check that out. You see that a lot of people are not even aware of how the legacy of slavery, like the brother was talking about, Tulsa, Brother Curtis, you know, basically Black Wall Street. I just learned last night that out there, look, the governor at the time, I think it was the governor or either the mayor, somebody in power actually asked the Ku Klux Klan to come in to Black Wall Street.
Oh, that was the mayor of the city. That was the mayor of the city. Yeah, they
burned it down.
Yeah.
To run amok, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that connects to the mass incarceration machine. It connects to, because that's one of the ways that as we try to build our families and our communities, we encounter this Ku Klux Klan structure of the justice system as well. So they're burning our communities down in different ways now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you're absolutely right, bro. You're on point. Go ahead.
It's like Marcelli right now, as I spoke to you about his medical condition and them denying him a treatment where you're behind these walls and he's in excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm.
And over 21 days, a man is curled over in pain. And
wow.
I had to demand the most basic pain medication for him.
Treatment in itself.
They don't recognize it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So this is why I'm putting these pleas out to the people, asking the people to please connect with FreeOurBrothers.com and Instagram at FreeOurBrothers, because the power of people will help us push for reparations. My version of reparations is immediate liberation from the legal imprisonment. It's be able to help others like myself and other people come forward, and to, of course, sanction the state for their wrongful fraudulent imprisonment.
Yes, sir.
And to be able to take this money and put it back into a prison.
That's it. That's it, brother. You're on point. That's exactly what my point is that you were definitely on point with everything you said, because it is a fact that there are some here in the Western Hemisphere, African Americans in diaspora, who in turn do have a desire to leave Africa, excuse me, leave America and go to Africa. As a matter of fact, they're leaving, many are right now being offered residence in Africa and able to buy certain lands and things of that nature. So some of the countries are inviting the brothers and sisters to come home. And like you just said, There are some people who just want to be here and continue to be here because of the blood, sweat, and tears and death that their ancestors made this society what it is, has become today, the one of the most powerful, the most prolific countries that the world has ever seen and ever envisioned. So on both sides, I would say that both people are right because, again, this country is as much as ours as anyone else, as a matter of fact, more so than anyone else because, again, we have not been paid for the luxury that they've been able to wallow in for more than 450 years. We've been here illegally, enslaved, suffering in death, and in bondage. So, again, you're absolutely right, both of you and Brother Curtis yourselves, and I want to say this as well. There's a brother right now, Brother Ron Daniels. He's administrator of the National African American Reparations Committee, and he states himself that if it came to pass, if we didn't address the African American denial of reparations, then we're going to continue to be, and I love this, I want you brothers to idea on this. He says that we're going to continue to be exploited, oppressed, and victimized. So do y'all agree with that, or do you think he's a little bit over his head? Brother Curtis, what do you think on that?
Well, there was a member of the House of Representatives. I can't think of his name right now, but he's passed. He was the head of the Congressional Black Caucus, and he sued the United States government for $10 million to begin to study as we have been abused and taken advantage of.
You're talking about Brother John Conyers, right?
Right. You got it. Now, that suit has not been taken up by the or any other black group in the United States, but there's one group from Trinidad who are pushing to get that $10 million to support racial expenses. And then many of the black colleges, now fraternities, pushing for that $10 million. Now that $10 million, as they got it, it would be for operating expenses. Now, this thing has become so abstract that it's difficult to understand because there's not one group that African Americans that I know of are pushing for reparations. There are a whole lot of them that are talking out there, but I'm talking about serious talk because the deeper you get into the demand for the wrong that has been done, the more you the possibility of violence when you see women being shot down in the street, men being wrestled down, traffic violations and shot in the back of the head.
Wow, man.
It's beginning to get very dangerous because what they are doing, they are attempting to provoke African Americans to come out and fight. There ain't no doubt about it. When you look at what's going on.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about the other night. Yes, sir.
When you see what's going out there on there in the street with these cops and these white supremacists, and they're getting away with it.
Yes, sir. Because they see we're getting a stronghold, brother. We wake it back up. We're getting to come to unity, black folks.
Yeah. I remember back in the 1960s, there was this man who was taking his wife to the hospital. She was pregnant and her water broke. And he was taking her to the hospital and the police stopped him. And he told the police, man, I've got to get my wife to the hospital. She's pregnant. And they told him, we don't give a fuck what you got to do. You ain't going nowhere until we give you this ticket. So he got back
in the car. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
They shot him dead. It was shortly after that that people responded and killed some police officers in that community.
Yeah,
I see the study to happen again, and black people should be prepared for all eventualities. Because what's happening, what's going on in these countries is going to spill over. It's going to spill over into the United States of America. It's worse than what people think it is, because most people are ignorant of what's going on in the communities that they live in, because most of the people that represent them have been selected by the white supremacy.
That's right.
So it seems that black people don't want to upset the pot. But I think it's going to be upset by the people who are being abused. This is Randy. Was stopped by a police officer in Tulsa. And the man, Randy, asked the police officer, am I under arrest?
Yeah.
And the police officer said no. So Randy walked away from him. The police shot him once in his back. When he turned around, he shot him twice in his chest, killing him. They let his back, his body lay out there on the ground until the evening before the police came to teach the people in the community a lesson. It's going to be going on much longer. I almost can guarantee you that they're going to do the wrong thing to the right person. All hell, because people are sick and tired of their children being killed and their wives insulted by these white racist police officers. And most of the police officers here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, are white. They are even hiring mercenaries from Central and South America that was killing their mothers and fathers for Prince. Prince is the man that organized Blackwater, and he got a reputation over there in the Middle East while he dealt with the Muslims, responsible for white Blackwater killing over a million Iraqis. And don't you think that those that they bringing back over here and putting on a police force don't relate to him? They love to kill, and we've got that out of our blood a lot. But there are some people here that are talking about self-defense. And I think it's something, a topic that all households should be discussing about. Well, what if my brother gets killed, got shot in the back and twice in his chest and he died? What should I do? Should I go down there and beg the police officer, lock the police officers up, kill some of them, son? You know? That's what is coming from the conversation.
It's coming, brother.
That I have been having with people. Now, in regards to reparations.
I know you have. I've been too. I've been here.
They gonna pay for the wrong and the damage that they done to us. And if you want to see the damage, if you got somebody in jail, you go visit them. If you got somebody that lives in a poor community, United States of America, go visit and see how they listen. And look at television, how these people that are running from what the Russians are doing to those people over there in that country. They got the clothes. I don't see nothing there. They children got the finest clothes. And they running in the Poland, and people don't understand the dynamics.
Well,
that's it.
Well, that's why I was saying to say now, brother, that we have to start. And brother Omar, I'm glad you're still there with us. Let me tell y'all something, man. What you're saying is very on point, brother Curtis. But let me tell you something. After the so-called Emancipation Proclamation, you have to realize now. Watch this. There were at least 4 million former slaves who were just set free and allowed to just roam a society where it had been off limits to them since their inception into this wicked hemisphere of what we call white America. Now, watch this one. So now, when you take a mass group of people who had everything done for them, who were told that they were three-fifths human beings, who were told that they had no right to education, who were told that they had to work from sunup to sundown, blisters or not, and women having their bellies cut out with them, babies being stomped in the faces, and men being pulled from one end of another horse and being totally pulled apart, and excruciating pain and torture. When you think about all that was going on then, now you're saying, okay, well, we no longer have to be exposed to that kind of tyranny and oppression and wickedness. Think about this now. 4 million of us, our ancestors, were set free into a society where they were denied jobs, income, resources, education, and even land. Now, watch this. So when you think about things like this here, do y'all know that a lot of us went back to those slave plantations and begged master to take us back on the homelands that they own and the slave plantations? Why? Because they say, we know not what we have gotten into. This is scary. Walking around all these white folks, all these businesses, we have no place to live. So I'm saying to y'all, you heard about this 40 acres and a mule. The federal government promised us. I mean, that was a nice gesture with as far as conversation is concerned. But if y'all realize in that 1863 after the Emancipation Proclamation, we were denied this. However, listen to this one, though. The federal government had a month earlier. I'm sure y'all heard of the Homestead Act of 1862. They had allotted more than 160 acres of free acreage up to 1.5 million whites selling in the western states of the United States. So I'm trying to tell y'all the reparations. Now listen to this one, then y'all can have the floor. Brother Omar, I know you've been patient. I want you to say something here. If anyone knows for the fact, y'all, that we've been here and these Caucasians know, the white powers that be in this government and their cronies and proteges, hidden in the background, don't y'all know they understand that if they give black reparations, that we have the potential to run the United States of America? Because we are the ones manning their factories, their facilities, their banks, their farms, their cotton fields. Watch this. So if we had money to match the zillions of dollars that they have, don't y'all know that they would lose because they didn't go into training to defend themselves, their country, and their homeland and building machines and things of this nature. We've done all the work for them. Brother Omar, talk to me about that. What's up with that?
Man, there's so many powerful topics. I think about, you know, how you were saying a lot of people went back to the plantation. And I also think about the other side of it, how immediately after, you know, the so-called Emancipation Proclamation, which had several other provisions, that's one of the reason Lincoln was killed, because of the different provisions that was about giving our people reparations and making sure that we get away from, you know, basically the white power structure, you know. But we only see the provisions that they, you know, Congress allowed to be released, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons they took Lincoln out, because he was trying to basically, he said, to paraphrase his quote, he said, you know, our people suffer from looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
We suffer from looking at you. We suffer from your very presence. And then y'all always going to be recollecting over 10,000 injuries. So we always going to be looking over our shoulders. So you told a group of black ministers, it's best for y'all to get out of here, to separate, you know, and to do your own thing. But, you know, of course they wanted to colonize us. But that's the age-old struggle. You know, we put so much into this country, and I understand. And to go, what, immediately after, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation, we had, was it 60 black towns?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
You know, I think over 200 black hospitals.
Oh, man, they
had
going.
They literally came
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Every time we set things up, like the brother was talking about self-defense, every time we set these black townships up, you know, they came in with different, I forgot the Jewish white doctor's name, he came in and had a policy to basically kill us off by medical neglect.
Sure.
And he had to get rid of the black hospitals because he knew that was giving our people life. We were taking it upon ourselves to take care of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
You know, so that's a narrative, the other side of the narrative that they don't want us to know about. You know, every time, you know, from Tulsa to Rosewood, Florida, to places out here in Colorado, every time we advance forward, they've always made militant, aggressive steps to violently wrest away what was ours, you know? And when you're dealing with people who may have a lot of trust in the oppressor to protect you, you're in trouble.
That's right.
You know, you have
that's
to defend right. yourself. You know, that's why, you know, I always make a point to go around the local controlled black politicians, the local controlled civil rights groups, to make a point to bring it to my message to the people,
mm-hmm.
what FreeOurBrothers.com is about, what Instagram at FreeOurBrothers is about, because it's the move for black liberation.
Okay.
Like in Haiti, if you think about Haiti, when they freed themselves, Toussaint, I always mess up his last name, Toussaint L'Ouverture, he stood up, not only beat the people that was enslaving him on the army, the French,
mm-hmm.
turned around and beat the British and everything.
British, no, that's right.
Napoleon, everything.
That's right.
Whooped them. But they were made to turn, to these people to pay reparations. You know, that's why Haiti's in one of the spots it is. It's in the chaotic mode it is now.
Sure,
because
sure.
they had to pay for being free.
Yeah.
They didn't have, you know, the continuation to how to defend themselves from these oppressive white structural powers.
That's
so
right.
if we don't focus on that, it's just like even if we do obtain, we will through the grace of God, but we have to defend ourselves, come together and pull our resources, because we talk about not having the resources, but collectively, we're probably, it changes so much, but black people will be the richest, seventh richest nation on earth,
mm-hmm.
collectively.
Well,
if we get out of America, you know?
That's hey, you're absolutely right, but now, let me tell you something, you're right, brother. Don't y'all know that annually, as African Americans here in the diaspora, we more than $350 billion annually on trash in patronizing other businesses. Yes, yes. So why is it that we have a problem trusting one another? You want to know why? It's because of that thorough brainwashing on the slave plantations, again, pitting mama against daughter, father against son.
Woody Lynch.
Thank you. Watch it now. He already knew that the time was going to come that we're going to be forced off the slave plantations. However, they want our slave mentalities to remain as it was, to be docile. Watch this, though. Watch it now. So the larger society, when blacks were set free through the Emancipation Proclamation, you got to realize now that instead of being confined on a small slave plantation, the slave plantation grew in society itself because the white man still owned everything. So what they do, they give us these little shack homes and all this here and say, look at y'all free true enough, but here what we're going to do for y'all. You get out here and recognize that y'all inferior people. Don't go out here trying to take none from us. Don't try to get on the level of us. We're going to be just fine. So that's why they came up with what you call the eugenics movement. The wealthy whites began to fear that with the realization that blacks are being set free now, they knew they were fearing, oh, man, we got to create a race of us through experimentation, because if we don't, genetically speaking, we know we can't outlast these people. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up a system called, as you call it, with Margaret Singer, you know, that was to kill off the black seed coming out of the wombs of our females and therefore killing the germ cells by getting them shots through the so-called, what's the group, the little group they got today, Planned Parenthood. But see, at that time, it was under a different name. Okay, through Margaret Singer, who was hired by the white supremacists at that time to make sure that we blacks were killed off and, as a matter of fact, sterilized to the point that we were not able to have children. So, Brother Curtis, now tell me what that says to you, Brother Curtis, on that, what I just talked about.
Well, the medical thing with this new disease that they came up with, it was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland. And the Israeli Jews, the South Africans, and the Americans developed it. It was developed on genetics. And the science that was used was that it would only kill black people. But when they found out that there were very few white people in the world, and they were the ones that apparently were most affected by this pandemic, as far as death was concerned, because they were supposed to have been in the majority. When they put that out there, it was developed to kill off Africa. And I have a paper on it if you'd like for me to send it to you. or the people that did the research and studied the development of that disease.
These brother, I want all, because we want to talk to the people. This is a show that make people become aware, functional, and informative, brother. Yes, we want all the information we can get from them. It's like our freeourbrothers.com and all this. I know it's a lot of stuff on there. You got stuff in Tulsa, brother. We are here on the show to bring it to the people so they can get it where they don't get anywhere else. That's why we recognize renowned. Everybody's listening to us right now. We have what you call in our back office. Whenever we get through, we have hundreds of people who tune in who missed it straight out. So what they can do is still live. You know, all they got to do is go to our back office, and they're listening while we're talking. So, yes, brother, we want people to know that, because everybody can't be the show at once. That's why we have the show recorded for later use. So, yeah, we want to hear it.
The United States Secret 1971 Special AIDS Virus Flowchart and AIDS Origin Lawsuit Dismissed. The United States owned the patent for the Ebola virus, which they experimented with in Sierra Leone, Liberia.
Uh-huh.
It killed thousands of people. Ironically, not ironically, but thankfully, Obama got wind of it and sent scientists over there, and they caught it in the bud and destroyed it and got people investigating what the cause was. And they found out that a group of Israeli, South African, and American scientists working in cooperation out of Fort Detrick, which is the home of biological warfare, created this disease, this germ that has killed over 1 million Americans in the last 2 years.
Wow, man.
They got undeniable proof, but you'll never see it. Now, there's some people, some black people from scientists who know about it, but they're being paid to keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But they've been experimenting on us with a whole heap of diseases. But
it's abounding. Yes.
Their control and ownership of the Ebola virus is evidence of the length that they'll go to get rid of black people. But all these things are falling back on them, because they're not many white people, genetically speaking, in this world today. So when they started the experimenting and doing their research, and they found out that Jews in Israel and South Africa and here in America were working on it, there were some black students that got involved. And they are the ones that started to looking at the origin of these diseases, and they began with Ebola, which killed a lot of people in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and other parts of Africa. Matter of fact, when 1994, when the Israelis were leaving Rwanda, they were involved in those 500,000 murders over there. When the Israelis were leaving Rwanda, they dropped test tubes of Ebola in the rain.
I already know.
And hundreds of thousands of black people died from it. Suffering, man. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's crazy, man. These diseases are so harmful to us that our babies come out ill-deformed and have a scratching and itching at night, and, you know, burning inside, burning sensations and all. You see, with all the stuff that y'all telling us about, man, this year has to improve our conditions as African Americans here in the Western Hemisphere, of a place and country and towns and cities that we built up to the majesty that it has become, we must be given more than our 40 acres and a mule. We must be given our right to at least 50% of the lands here before we can be fully satisfied. And we should not accept anything less because our migrations were forced. Watch this here. Basically, everyone else was on their own permission and on their own whim and on their own behalf and own instincts. So there is a difference here. When you take people too selfishly and so with so robust energy, deprive them of their sanity, of their unity in their family units, of their home, of an intellect, of an education, of a job, and of training. Brother Omar, what do you do to people when you do that to them?
Man, it's only by the grace of God that they remain human. You're deliberately stripping them of what makes you human. It's a book, I may quote the title wrong, I wish I would have brought it with me right now, but it's called The American Slave Code in Theory and Practice.
Wow, uh-huh.
Written by, I can't pronounce his name, last name, but it's spelled G-O-O-D-E-L-L. Goodell, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
American Slave Code in Theory and Law and Practice. And I recommend that everybody listening at least Googles that book, see what it's about. It's a very old book written in the 1800s, but it talks about the systemic slave system,
mm-hmm.
how it was
mm-hmm.
put in. I mean, they have chapters in there that's the so-called, man, as far as making your blood just boil and go chill sometimes, where they talk
yes.
about a slave can possess nothing.
Yes.
You know, a slave can own nothing. A slave is yes. not a human being.
Yes.
I remember reading quotes out of that book when he was saying about Thomas, the so-called great Thomas Jefferson, how his nephew took a 12-year-old African girl and
mm-hmm.
chopped her up bit
mm-hmm.
by bit to prove
mm-hmm.
threw mm-hmm. on the fire.
Yeah.
To show his so-called great might. I mean, you're chopping up a child.
Yes.
You know, a coward move. So things were deliberately done to break us. Like he quotes one of the quotes in there, one of the legislators out of North Carolina, the name escapes me, North or South Carolina, and he said, you know, we intentionally want to regulate them to the level of beast of field, the beast of field. We want you to be a beast. Our job is to take out the light of your intellect. If you take out the light of somebody's intellect, the light that's shining, you're trying to distinguish the very light of what makes a person human deliberately so they can be kept on a level of a savage. You know, they know who we are. They know where they got us from. They know what we're capable of. But if I turn you into a savage, you know nothing. You're moving off of instinct, you know? You're
mm-hmm.
moving off of this basic impulses, savage impulses. So to take away people's tongue, religion, memories of their man, what you owe, you can't pay, but you have to pay something, like you said. You know, you have to produce, because at the end of the day, it's leaving from you anyway. It's leaving. You got all these different, you know, you got Russia talking bad to you. You got all these other nations talking big to you. They're moving away from you.
Mm-hmm.
People not fearing your power no more. You got so many different judgments. I mean, out here in Colorado, they just had 60-mile to 80-mile-an-hour winds fueling a brush fire.
Wow.
The fire, a wildfire.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking out people's homes by the thousands. You know, I don't celebrate that, but
yeah.
I do know
yes.
that if you uphold the system in this state that's for generations been illegally incarcerating people, you know, when people are in here dying and being tortured behind these walls, as FreeOurBrothers.com explains, what do you think will happen? What do you think is going to happen? You know, a continuation of taking people away from their language, their loved ones, their family, to break people, you know, to turn you into something that you're not. So in closing, I would say that, you know, what we have to do is know who we are, where we're going, be locked and committed in our purpose, and fight to not be content.
Well, brother, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you're saying. And once again, this is People Power Radio. Our beautiful sister, Maya Yabor, she's right now on vacation, and we'll be back with us this Thursday. And so we wish her with Godspeed wherever you are. My sister, be safe. We are very well loved and very honored and respected due to the intelligence and mindset that you have. We definitely miss you, even with this not being here with us. But we know next week you would be back with us. So you go out and have fun, keep continuing, and, hey, keep us in your mindset, and you are definitely in our prayers. Let me say also, y'all, that tonight, let me tell y'all a little bit about the shameful story of how 1 million families, that's right, black families, were ripped from their farm, their land, and ownership of property that belonged to them in the southern states. Blacks at this time around the 1950s, beforehand and on up, lost more than 12 million acres over a past century, y'all. In addition to land they lost due to, you know, the black migrations in the South and discrimination, discriminatory practices. It was, again, around the 1950s and onwards. You know why they lost some of their properties? Because they could not prove the deeds of title. And at that time, remember back that time, you were not allowed as blacks to come in, even though they had what you call the land run. That's why they were able to have these cotton fields and other things that they were actually producing themselves. So they were making the money for the white man, even though it was illegally done, and yet they were legally owning homes, but they were ripped from them because they did not have the right, according to the Atlantic article, they did not have a right to continue to farm land and own property that they had no deeds to. And again, at that particular time, you went, go ahead, somebody, go ahead. Somebody, I'll talk about saying something.
Yes.
Brother Curtis, talk to me. What's going on with somebody? Who was that? Talk to me.
Yes, the housing people who were paying the white farmers $1 million to pay off their debts and buy equipment to farm on their land, they didn't give the black farmers nothing. That's how they stole all of their land. Farmers got a suit and been headed in. But it's going on 100 years now, and they ain't paid them for their property yet, with some very bad spirits are developing over that, because they paid here just recently Hispanic women and poor whites money to develop their properties and their farming techniques and buy equipment.
Man, we can't keep this shit up, man. We can't keep letting this shit go on, man. We got to do something, man. I'm tired of it.
I'm going to put this in the mail for you. Today is Saturday.
Yeah.
Monday morning, put those papers in the mail for you.
Okay.
So once I get my tongs into something and I do research on it and make a lot of sense. The Ebola virus pandemic is what this new virus that they done got come out of. So you can expect to get that in the mail. I'll send it first class Monday. You can get it by Wednesday or Thursday. Go over it, man, and study it with some of your people, because it's very dangerous. They got right front of everybody in the world, get rid of black people. And they got a lot of black people that are helping them. So.
Yes, yes. Well, you're on point, Brother Curtis. That's what I'm trying to tell you, brother man. We, as a people here, as we try and formulate, as we try and regulate, as we try and to orchestrate putting a black movement together, you have to realize there are Sambos who look just like you and me, who are going back to report to the man, to Massa, what our plans are, and they derail us before we get off the ground. Good, why? Because they know about our very plans and operations before we can enact. So if you know something about a person's military strategies or whatever the case may be before you move out, I'm going to be able to counter you before you get there, and you're going to scratch your head. Now, how in the world do they know to stop us here? Well, that's the whole point, to derail you from your independence. That's why they don't want to give you reparations, because with reparations come the power to own land, the power to own ammunition, the power to own education centers, the power to own hospitals. Okay?
Yeah, well.
So what that means, go ahead.
What that means is America is in serious trouble, and they know it. And they plan how to defuse it. That's why they bringing all of these Africans over here and putting them in white supremacist organizations and giving them power. Giving them power, here in Tulsa, they paying people $10,000 to come here, giving them houses, refurnishing the houses, putting new heating units in them for these neo-colonialist Africans that was killing their mothers and fathers in Rwanda.
Yeah.
Today they're doing this here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In 1998, I was out at the airport, and they had a plane load of these young men come in, and one of them wanted to talk to me, practicing his English. So I was talking to him, you know, just talking to him like I talk to anybody. This man over. This man came over to us and slapped that boy so hard, I felt it. And, and he asked me, did I want some of that? I said, you goddamn right I want some of it. You know? I tear his ass up, man. We got to straighten this shit out because it can't go on like this. The women they don't even respect their husbands here hardly anymore. They know they are scared of these fucking punks.
Yeah.
Got to be straightened out. And I think the only way that it can be straightened out is through violence. That's the only thing.
You just said it, brother. Well, I hate it. It's a fact.
The thing they understand is violence.
Yes.
As soon as black people started killing cops, cops gonna stop killing black people.
So they know what's coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they gonna know they know the smog is gonna be so blinding that they're not even gonna be able to see the clear through the vision anymore. So they're gonna say, oh wait, we kill one, two of us might die now. You know? But at the same time, we already know too that the whole point of doing that, Brother Curtis, is to establish martial law. When they establish martial law, that means all your constitutional rights and everything you got is over with now, because it's gonna be military designed for food, shelter, clothing. How time and time you come out of the house, I'm telling you, that's why they're doing and letting these killings and things go on, brother, man. So before we get to that point, it is in dire need of us. Come on.
Already. They got us up and running already.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. We got to get ready, man, because like I said, everything under the Constitution is going to be thrown out the door, because when the military comes in, that means everything it stops, and it's militarily necessary for us to do what we're needing to do to put boots on the ground. That's what that master's going to tell you to everybody. They already had it pre-planned, pre-designated for this time to come about, because they already knew blacks were eventually going to try to put their head on their shoulders straight. So therefore, they already knew beforehand, unlike us blacks, they know beforehand what they're going to do to offset any uprisings that come about. That's why they experimented with those rallies and the riot up there in Washington, D.C. You know they planned that to make sure what steps they need to take if anybody else do that. Now, blacks, if we'd have done that in mass numbers, all of us would have been dead that day. Wouldn't have been no question about it. But because they're white supremacists, it was all a front, man. They weren't out there trying to turn nothing up like that. It's just the fact that their main boss, the head white supremacist, Donald J. Trump, with his little hand signals and all that white power and stuff, letting them know, brothers and sisters, it's time that these people in Congress stop taking our rights from them and getting to these blacks and other minorities. God damn it, let's go up and tear this shit up. Okay? So now what that does is cause the attention of the power. What do you think, Omar? You've been quiet. Talk to me.
Well, man, I'm thinking like what your brothers are saying, man, and I wanted to make a very special appeal to the people. You know, these powerful brothers, you know, on this podcast, Brother Michael Washington and Brother Curtis, and it's a nation of brothers behind bars, black and brown people, native people, even poor black people, who are strong, who are revolutionary, who seen the worst. We already know how martial law is. We're living under the gun.
Wow.
You know, many of us are prepared to die for what we believe in because we've seen the worst of the worst, you know? So don't forget us behind these walls. I know there's hundreds of people that's out there listening right now, and I thank you for all your support. I'm making a direct appeal to you, the people, to help me to liberate myself so I can liberate others, because I know a lot of strong brothers who need to be physically present and learn from brother like Michael Washington and Brother Curtis and get these instructions and get this powerful guidance, because this physical wall, this penitentiary, is about keeping us walled off, sealed off, isolated. Right now, they can shut my phone off and tell me I'm going to the hole for no reason at all.
Yeah.
They have that power.
Yeah.
They have that power.
Yeah.
My immediate power would be I have two choices. Either I can respond violently and want to be able to communicate with you, this platform, again.
Yeah.
I can say, okay, I'm going to fight courts, which is basically a lynching system.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we ask, what I'm asking, my special appeal tonight is to the hundreds of people that's listening, I'm asking at least if you can get 10 people, to those who are on social media, to go to Instagram at Free Our Brothers, Instagram at Free Our Brothers.
Instagram at Free Our Brothers. Okay.
Or Facebook/Free Our Brothers and join the page. Join the movement, because with the power of the people, we can do great things.
Oh, man.
You know, so I need to free. Everything starts in the mind. I'm one of the free brothers that's in here. Many of us walking around.
Yes, sir.
But I need to show these brothers that the people hear us, the people care, and we're moving forward. So I'm not saying you don't care, but I'm just saying I need to see you all on these websites.
Okay.
Instagram at Free Our Brothers. Facebook/Free Our Brothers. Please.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Brother Omar, since you said it like that as well, Brother Curtis, I think he agrees as well, because we've been doing some very strenuous strategic fighting throughout this judicial system, because, like I said, I was in the prisons in the 70s. So I know about all this stuff, but people don't know it. So you can't miss me with the call and cry for people to come in and let's get together, let's lock arms and fight our enemy outside our circle. Anything penetrate our circle must get its head on our bottom line. You know, so what I'm trying to say is no black revolutionary left behind, because we are the voices that's needed out there to get us out of this mad state of slavery, suffering, and death, and emasculation, man. Everything that they turn around and do now. Come on, Curtis.
I know you're running. We're running kind of short, but I want to tell you this here.
Come
on. If it wasn't for black revolutionaries, I wouldn't be out here right now.
All
right, police came.
Come on.
The police came to my house. And locked on the door, and my wife asked, who was it? I said, who was the police? Somebody broke into your store downstairs. So I got up to open the door. My wife answered. I got up to open the door. When I opened the door, man snuck a gun in my face and said, nigga, if you move, I'll blow your brains out.
Woo.
Took me back in the house, handcuffed me. Took me down to the jailhouse, beat me up, wanted to know who was killing cops. I don't know anybody that was killing cops. But these brothers that were inside of the penitentiary, they sent me little notes and got me two attorneys to defend me. And I won the case in court. I was found not guilty of the bank robberies that they charged me with and criminal facilitation. But they destroyed my businesses. And that's one of the businesses that, reasons that I'm down here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. These some rotten sons of bitches.
Yes,
and I'm
sir.
Telling you.
Yes.
They looking for trouble. They think they know some, excuse my language. They think they some of these black people that you know supposed to be bad motherfuckers, they don't know what they up against now.
Yeah.
America
is
in serious trouble and is not going to survive.
No, they see it. That's why they know what they're doing. Come on.
Yeah. That's my prediction. They ain't going to survive. I got to go.
Well, see, they know what you're doing, brother.
I got to talk to you later.
You
got
wicked men.
Huh? What?
I said, you can't keep doing wicked men. And that's right. Hey, and guess what? Their own sacrifices are going to be their reparations for the manner. That's why I say reparations, looking at it. They are going to be asking now for reparations from us when they see that. See, right now, man, our problem is blacks here in the United States, everybody want to be the chief. Nobody want to be the one that's wiping the floor or mopping the table. But at the same time, when that person out front gets the recognition, one thing about it, they're going to say, well, who mopped this floor? Well, Michael Washington did. Who did win it? Brother Curtis did. What I'm trying to say to y'all, man, is that too many of these people want to have the out front spotlight and are the same very people that's holding us back from moving forward because they're the one going and compromising with the leadership, and we cannot allow that to go on. We need to tear that sucker's goddamn head off, man. I'm telling y'all, I'm getting a little bit of, you know, right, I've got to kind of control myself a little bit because I see now, man, every time you turn around, just like his brother the other day, wrestling with this cop shot him down in the back of the head, blew his goddamn head off, man, and didn't have to do it, man. But you see what I'm saying? And look at what's going on. There are people that up there and they sit up there, ran up and talking about, hey, man, we want this. Y'all got to do something to it. You know, the white folks up there laughing at them people saying, man, how many more times y'all going to tell us we got to do something? I'm telling y'all, it's going to come to a head before long, man. But that's the way Massa wants it to turn out because then they can justify kicking our doors in and arresting people, some people not being found in the future and things like this, and planting them on slave plantations and far out lands that you're never going to see them anymore. Just like y'all see in these movies, it's very real, brother. They're just trying to let us know they're very real. Talk to me, brother Omar.
Man, brother, it's cold in here, but my body temperature, I'm on fire. I'm sweating. Like a Sunday morning, I'm a Baptist preacher, brother.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful flower, a beautiful topic.
Yeah.
It's, like you say, it's very real. I think about what the brother was saying about the whole airport incident, you know, if you slap one of us, it's like got to be like slapping all of us.
Yeah.
It has to be a black united front. And I was also thinking about, you know, the man that mops the table, mops the floor, a lot of people don't realize he sees a lot of things. He hears a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because sometimes people drop their guard, you know, to give you a metaphor on that.
Yeah.
They don't take the man that's, you know, wiping the windows or whatever as a threat, but he knows the secrets. He knows how to move. He knows how to get doors open. So we should all see that the enemy's plan is to divide us, to keep us divided, because all their problems, when they have their problems and they fight amongst themselves, they have a common agreement amongst themselves.
No question.
Who their enemy is and who they want to keep oppressed. If we can't see that, then we can't move at all.
Yes, sir.
Because everything starts in the mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So we do not focus on titles and positions, but actual black united progress in a powerful revolutionary motion. You know, don't trip over the titles. Let's figure out how we have to move and move accordingly to the wisdom and power and authority that we gather amongst ourselves. Because, you know, the elders give the guidance to the youth. The youth need to learn discipline.
Yes, sir.
We learn from the elders. You know, man can't be against woman. Woman can't be against man.
Yes, sir.
You're doing the enemy's bidding because they're outnumbered. It's the same thing in prison. They know right now. They totally outnumbered. It's a packed house. If all the prisoners rolls up right now and say, we leaving, there's nothing they can do. You know, they can get the guns and all that, but it would take time.
Yeah.
Certain ones of us would get out of this gate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But they have people divided. You're fighting yourselves. You're not seeing you have a common oppressor. And we don't see you have a common oppressor, a common enemy. He or she walks up, totally dominates you, and continues to dominate you.
Yes,
and says, that person, Michael Washington, is the problem.
Yeah.
We don't like him. He think he all that. Brother Curtis think he know everything. But the man, that's woman that's pulling your strings, got you on this little puppet dance. Guess what they doing? They continue to been doing. They've been lynching, robbing, killing, all because we don't wake up. We won't see. We won't come together and say, if you slap one, you slap all.
I'll see.
We'll slap you back.
I'll see. Yes, sir. Brother, you know, you were perfectly or profoundly on point. Let me tell you something. Exactly what you just said there, brother man, they have us so bamboozled, so hoodwinked, as Malcolm X said. They, Plymouth Rock landed on us. We didn't land on it. So what he's trying to say is that we're bombarded with this falsehood, half-truths, and lies, and deceitfulness that we believe a lie before we believe the truth. And the reason we have come so close to and so willingly to accept and embrace that which is fantasy or false and unreal is because rather than deal with the realness of our environment and our tragedy, we find solace and comfort in denying that it is in existence. Why? Because we don't have to be responsible now. So the challenge, my brothers are here listening to us and those of you who are listening and haven't spoken tonight, our challenge is basically what do we do from here to rearrange, reprogram the same black faces like us who are going back and telling them in every time we do something, and who refuse to get on board and are ready to fight with the enemy to take us out. Curtis, what do we do about this, man?
It's very simple. Very simple. The solution to the problem is we had to do the same thing to them that they're doing to us. That's the only thing that they understand is violence. And once they see and feel the hurt that we hurt when one of our children is murdered by one of these white supremacist cops, you know what they used to do when they castrated black men?
Yeah.
Take them home to their wives and tell their wives to cook them. And they ate them, thinking they're going to get some energy from that.
Yes.
It's over for America. I don't care how you look at it, upside down or backwards. It's over for Americans and all of those people that support them. Ain't nothing on this planet. All atomic bombs and missiles that they got ain't going to stop what's getting ready to happen in America. America has already been destroyed. It's only a matter of time. A whole heap of people going to die.
The less of us needs to die if we would only get on accord, brother man. Just like the story of Noah in the Bible, there many people were warned of the great destruction coming. But they thought, oh, this silly old man, he ain't talking about nothing, man. Who in the hell going to destroy this world? We going to do what the hell we want. Let's laugh at him with his drunk ass. That's the very mentality that our people are suffering from right now, slavery, suffering, and death. We are our own worst enemies now. We have that technology. We have the education. We have the finances. But we won't collectively bring it together. You become one body, one soul, and one mind, and because we don't divide it, we get conquered. Master's sitting back right today as we're listening and quoting and discussing the topic tonight. Guess what he's doing? Mobilizing troops, putting DNA tests together, separating chemicals and things of this nature. Y'all don't hear me. They never sleep. In other words, when one go home to sleep, the other come and take his place, and they pick back up my brother. They never did. You understand me? Just like police force. If they did, you never would have a police force in the different grave shifts and different things. You see what I'm talking about? So in other words, the other go to sleep so they can come back as a rotating cycle. That's how they stay in power, because they have the people in the right place.
They have created conditions that's causing them to commit suicide, because that's just exactly what they're getting ready to do. They're getting ready to commit suicide. Conditions dictate. And conditions dictate that America has got to go. She got to go. She can't stay
here. Coming.
You know, she can't stay here. You know?
And
she's caused too much suffering with these Nazi, Israeli, Zionist, Hitler Jews. That's who they protecting.
Mm-hmm.
They think that the Jews in Israel is going to protect them because they got an atomic bomb. But don't you think that them people ain't remembering what America did? You know, I remember, and I'm not a religious person, but they done murdered millions of these people for the Jews to be comfortable in Palestine. Gonna work. I can tell you
that. They're fighting
right
today. The Muslims and the Jews are fighting right today, even in Palestine. I told you. That's how they do, man, with history. They'll have one tragic, like, say, with Ukraine. Now, out of all this time, Ukraine dominated the news. But now that Ukraine's about to die out, what do? They create another place over there in Jerusalem right now where the Palestinians are fighting against the European so-called children of Israel, which are the white Jews, the pale Jews. Now, listen to this. What they do, man, all this stuff is already going on, but they give us pieces that you want to divert our minds to and throw us off our immediate circle where we're living today, y'all. I keep trying to tell you. Don't tell nobody you got all kind of stuff going on now, and then they'll put it on the news when they want to hear about it. It's all depressing, diabolical. Oh, man, I'm tired of hearing this shit. We need to do something else. Well, y'all, we can no longer allow them to divert our attention from our immediate circle, which is here right today, because if we continue to think about over there, you're forgetting about your own backyard. Not to say that we can't focus on them, but we need to lose their situation and say, okay, they're not even close to being worse as we have been coming and what we have suffered here in the Western Hemisphere as blacks. Let me say this, y'all, because I got to get ready to close out. But before I do, we'll all have 2 minutes apiece. However, let me let our audience alert them so that we won't just fade out without them having some kind of direction. All right, everybody, right in Oklahoma City. This is your guy, Baba Witafa, father of many nations, Brother Michael Washington, right here in Oklahoma City. We're right here on the People Power Radio. The show is your show is your host, and we're giving it to you like we know how, and we're giving it to you because what our education and learning has taught us. It doesn't mean we're right. It doesn't mean that we're wrong. On this show, you're never right or wrong. It's your opinion that counts, and it matters, because with your opinion, thoughts, and ideas, others will gain a process and a reality that they may not have known that they had already bottled up inside of them. So, again, thank y'all for joining us tonight. If y'all have a great topic for the show, again, y'all just call me at area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. And you can also find me on Facebook, Brother Michael Washington, and or you can find my page, Empower People Incorporated, or Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. And again, as the Brother Omar just stated, you can also find him at freeourbrothers.com and on Instagram or the Facebook page as well. So again, y'all, we want to thank y'all for listening to us. And again, it is your idea, opinions, and thoughts that count. Without you, we would be nothing but wasting our time tonight. So again, we want to let y'all know that if you have a time or topic for a show, call us up at area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. And for those of you who are wondering, Sister Mayotte is on vacation tonight, but she will be with us on our next broadcast. Again, she's having a little bit of fun. I told her, I said, you go ahead and have your fun tonight, because she's a workaholic and you need to take a break. And so she'll definitely be back. She didn't want to go, but again, I told her, no, you go ahead and have your fun. And, you know, she's just, everything with her, man, it's all about business, work. I said, no, sister, go take your time. Take a few days off. That way, when you come back, you're going to be more profoundly and ready to explode worse than what you already been. You know, give your mind a break, go have a little fun. So, again, we'll be back with us on our next show, which is this Thursday. So, again, y'all, we want to thank y'all all tonight. And if you don't hear back from us before we get off the broadcast, we're getting ready to leave. We're still going to talk, but if we cut off, you already have the idea in mind. So, again, with that, y'all, tell everybody, your loved one, tell somebody in your life, hey, man, I love you, I respect you, without you, I'm nothing, you know, just give them encouragement, because one thing about it, we're not in this world alone, and if we see ourselves as being alone or by ourselves, we're going nowhere fast. So we must bring this show and others into the topic of unity, freedom, justice, and equality among our race of people. Again, the topic of tonight is Blacks Reparations on Demand. Good night, everybody. Again, we still have Brother Curtis and Brother Omar in our back room here. We've got about 7 minutes here, and then we're going to take on and continue to speak. So y'all be blessed. And Brother Curtis, let me give you the first 2 minutes, and then we'll give it to Brother Omar, and then I'll take the last 4 minutes, and we'll go off there. So everybody, be blessed. If we don't say or hear anything, if you don't hear from us after the show, right tonight, be blessed, and again, prepare, because we will be back at 8 o'clock next Thursday. Y'all be blessed, and have a great day. Brother Curtis, talk to me. You got 2 minutes, man.
The problem is America, all over the world, and Israel. The two of them combined is causing more misery than the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yes, sir. I remember that. 1947. Yes,
America is a nation of murderers. They love to murder people. They love
Oh, man, that's symbolic.
They love for people to suffer. I believe that the suffering that America is getting ready to go through, they're not prepared for it.
I know that and not.
And with that, those brothers that came to my aid when the police came and arrested me.
All right, brothers, I say.
They came to my aid. They were members of the Black Liberation Army, accused of being members of the Black Liberation Army and the Black Panther Party.
All right, sir. Yes.
I was in jail. I had businesses, but I didn't know how to get out of what they was charging me with.
Yeah.
They directed two attorneys. They come to my aid, Liz Sink was one of the attorneys. She passed away here a couple of years ago.
Okay.
She defended the Attica brothers and won.
All right, now. So she's a revolutionary. We need them kind of attorneys on our team. Yeah.
Yeah. She came to my aid. And I'll never
forget her. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off, brother, because we got less than 3 minutes. I'm going to let brother give his parting shots, and then maybe we can go in the back room. But go ahead, brother. Omar. Don't leave, though, Curtis.
Closing, I say, I thank you, the people, for listening and, you know, taking action. I ask the people to please call 303-866-2959. Leave a message for Representative Leslie Herod of the Colorado Black Caucus. Ask her to answer Omar Gent's letter written to her over 7 months ago, and to also to answer the Instagram at Free Our Brothers, Are We Citizens video. And in closing, I would say I need everybody to please support this call, because the sister failed to respond, but she took an oath to represent all the people.
What's that
so
number
please
again?
Please help me.
What's that number again?
The number is 303-866-2959.
Okay. All right, everybody.
Thank you all.
Y'all heard that number. You need to call Leslie Harris. She's with the Black representative right there in Denver, Colorado. Her phone number again is 303-866-2959. Call the sister and ask her, hey, are you going to work for the people? Are you going to work for the government? Are you going to disregard a letter that Brother Omar Gent wrote to you 7 months ago? You can best believe that my letter's going out tonight, and it will be in the mail Monday. So, again, that number is 303-866-2959, and this is a request from Brother Omar Gent to ask you to write to Sister Leslie Harris and ask her what her goals are and what her perspectives are regarding the African-American community and those incarcerated. And if you're not going to fight for the people, there's always a place for you to be in your own spirit of the moment. Get your behind out of that seat, because we need some fighters and revolutionaries going to fight for the people. So, again, that number is 303-866-2959. Call Sister Leslie Harris and say to her, this brother wrote you a letter that's incarcerated in this hell hole, and he needs for you to hear his voice. All right, everybody, we're getting ready to go off the air. We got about 1:03, so I'm going to use that on up to say thank all of y'all for listening to us tonight, and hopefully we've said something that's going to inspire you and motivate you to get up and be the best person you can become. And we also want to let you know that this is not our last time. We're going to have another show coming this Thursday. The topic has not been mapped out just yet, but you can best believe it's going to be energetic, rewarding, and very exciting, because we refuse to let it be otherwise. Again, I want to thank our special guest tonight, Brother Omar Gent, as well as my comrade and mentor that I've been known many, many years, who's always sitting in my corner, mother from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's, again, very beautiful brother. He's out here in the fight and in the struggle, and this brother Omar, as well as myself, and Sister Mayette as well. So we have a handful of us, but we need more people like us to get the ball rolling and get this thing fully cracking. So, again, y'all, we want to thank y'all again tonight for allowing us to come into your homes and to your lives and giving us the opportunity to tell you what's on our minds, and hopefully that we've given you something and you, in turn, can give back to us one of these times yourself. So, again, please call us at area code 405-246-9089. Ring my chime, because I'm always there. It's on my hip. If I'm not in the office, it's on my cell phone, so we definitely will be in the office. The number is, again, is 405-246-9089. Again, thank y'all very much. We got about 15 seconds. Again, brothers, we're going in our back room for about 10 minutes. We still have about 10 minutes to work with after the show is over. So good night, everybody. This is the last seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're off the air. Have a good night. All right, Brother Curtis, y'all, we still in a back room now. We're off the air. But... yeah, this was an intense subject, and I loved it tonight, man. I'm really on fire. I appreciate you, brother, waking me up, man, and give me an opportunity to speak to you, because y'all definitely lit my fire tonight with your knowledge and brilliance. I just wanted to say that.
Man, I appreciate it myself, man. That's a big man, so this topic got me hyped up, man.
Yeah. That's good, brother. Yeah, good. Brother Curtis.
I sent that letter to that Gary Felber, man. My fiance Tiffany, she pulled him up, man. That man is, he's got like a lot of different connections, man. You might want to pull him up. Gary Felber.
Gary Felber, okay.
Yeah, that letter you wrote for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, author of Those Who Know Don't Say. You might want to Google him, man. He's like Harvard, Yale, and different American, like, journals, African-American history journals.
Oh.
And, you know, So I appreciate you writing that letter, man, because I put that in there today to him, and he sent me his phone number. And I didn't know. He sent the phone number right away.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting on it, and he already sent it, man. And, you know. So,
yeah, I told you, brother. You told me to get something. You told me to write for you. I'm in business, brother, man. I mean, I'm letting him know that you're not alone by yourself. People, you reaching out, touching you in Oklahoma, Tulsa, and places like this, brother, man. It's all about freedom, justice, and equality. Don't fake with us, man. If you're not going to work with us, get the hell out of our way. We ain't playing with you, man, because actions speak louder than words, man. Get on. Bottom line.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. So I'm going to go ahead and try to, man. I want to get my brother. He's down with my dad right now. Well, hopefully next week I'll be able to record, like, maybe at least a poem for you or something, man, on this, you know, creative stuff that you can get access to, you know.
Yeah. You said Gary Felder is his name?
Yeah, Gary Felber, F-E-L-B-E-R.
Oh, Felber, you know? And Gary Felber, right? Garrick or Gary?
Yeah. He wrote a Garrick, Dr. Gary Felber, G-A-R. I'm looking at the book right now.
G-A-R-Y.
I know the book is, Those Who Know Don't Say, Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he also wrote a book with Dr. Manny Marble, Malcolm X portable reader.
Uh-huh.
And then he's in the process of writing another book, so.
Manny Marble, that was a highly educated African historian, man. Woo, Manny Marble, he got some lightning rods, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He dedicated his book to Manny Marble. The one I'm reading now, Those Who Know Don't Say, dedicated the book to Manny Marble. He said, you know, he didn't want to set him on the path, so. You know, of course, I let him know that I appreciate that letter, man, because that's like a voucher and it's powerful. And,
man.
I put all my stuff in the mail to him, and I wrote that. I put a lot in that letter, man, to let him know what I'm dealing with. And,
you know. Next time you contact him, let him know that you got it, your help down this way, brother, man. Next time, just let him know, hey, contact that brother. I'm going to write him, too. Let him know, brother Mike Washington might be contacting you. And, you know, let him know we real with it here, brother. I mean, because, you know, we want him to know we want to work this thing out in unity and in one form, one mind, one soul, one heart. You know what I mean? And he calls it, the more of us that's branching out in these various states and hooking them and coming together, we can't be topped.
Yeah.
We can't be stopped, brother, because everybody's
doing
their
thing. I'm going to let you know, too. I'm going to let you know about that brother Antoine. I just got his number today. He gave me his business number and his cell phone number. So that's the one that got all the other connections talking about, black billionaire and all various people. So.
Yeah.
I'm writing him now, man, about the trauma of incarceration.
Yes.
And I got my dad. He's going to put together a video to address him, and I'll share that with you. And it's coming together, man. A lot of hard work. You know, I've been trying to just keep myself calm.
You can't get nothing without working, brother. You can't get anything without working for it, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You got to.
Man,
it's going
to
be a struggle, too.
Oh, yeah, struggle. I noticed, you know, the evil one trying to set me off with this situation with Maselli, but we stand on it, you know, making these calls to these wardens and
I did. I wrote a letter, too. I'll be sending y'all a copy of that, too. Yeah, I'm not playing, brother. Look here, man, I'm on a mission, brother, man. I mean, it's us or Gus. We're not going to take
anymore. Yeah, I appreciate you, man. That's why I read that final call. Thank God for the final call newsletter, man, because that's why we need our man. I appreciate your platform so much because like you told, these people don't want us to know about who's out there really been fighting for us.
No, they don't.
I would never heard about you, man. You know, this controlled media out here.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. And again.
Like you said, it's Sambo's.
Yes, sir.
They're everywhere, man.
You said that right.
Come out the closet.
Yeah, I mean, every which way, man. Yeah, hey, boy, they're like going to fall out of parachutes and the tree limbs and things now.
Man, they like Marines, man.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I asked one yesterday. I said, you sleep? He said, I'll never sleep. I drink coffee. I said, man, my bad. Keep it real,
man,
huh?
Keep it real. At least he let you know, man. He ain't playing. He's going to be blind to the fact. He don't care. He don't know he needs sleep.
Hey,
he's
man.
Going to hell with it.
He said he don't need no sleep. He trying to drink coffee. I said, boy, my God.
he know his time really short talking like that. He ain't got to worry about it.
Man, hey, but I can tell you one thing, which is so sad. It's sad when you got to give somebody some props. For some.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
You know, I hear everybody weak. I say, brother, at least you being consistent.
Hey, brother, I heard you got 60 seconds, brother. I'm going to get up out of here. But look here, man, you take care of man, and like I said, man, please give your queen my respect and honor and dignity, man, and then let me know what I can do to help you get out of there. If I need to write some more letters to some people, whatever, brother, I'm serious what I do. You need to be up out of there. We need people like you on the firing line out here with us. You know, we need people. You've been in there long enough. You've done your education. You've been incarcerated in the lion's den now all this time.
You have 30 seconds remaining.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. I'll let her know, and I'll keep you in the loop, man.
Yeah.
All right, one love.
One love, brother, man. Talk to you later on. All right. All right, Black Warrior. Talk care. Take care.